We boogin' on a Monday. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Barn Social Hour. My name's Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And that was a baller intro. And
how about that intro, guys? Yeah. You've been asking. So we delivered.
We delivered, man. I mean, come on. I mean, we're here for you, man. That's why we're here. We are here for you. Now, Graham, we got a lot to unpack, a lot of news, but also you specifically were like, hey, we gotta talk about the football team again. But after what we've learned, and the more and more as the weeks and days have progressed, your opinion has changed about this football team. And just like spring, everyone's booging, but today you were definitely booging. So hit me. What you got going on? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I am a man. I'm bugging. I can tell you that for sure. I have been bit by the bug, mm-hmm. and I'm all in on this team. I mean, obviously, you know, we had an episode a little bit ago, about probably close to a month ago now, mm-hmm. Where we talked about, you know, the schedule, kind of what our predictions on the year, yeah. and you know what we thought this team was going to be capable of. I think you ended up giving them 9-3, and yes. I ended up giving them 7-5. Mm-hmm. Man, the bug has gotten to me, and I think right now I'm ready to get them more than 7-5. I think I'm ready to get, dude, I might be pushing 9-3 too.
Hey,
now, I mean, it is spring, and it's full bug right now. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm just seeing spring practice and stuff like that, but the social media team for Auburn Athletics have just been undefeated this year. Dude. I mean, every day they're posting another video from spring. I'm just like, oh my goodness, this team looks good. And I'm just like, golly, like, I mean, go ahead and suit up and let's play Baylor tomorrow. I'm ready.
Yeah.
But they've just done an outstanding job of showcasing this team. And really, like, I mean, they're kind of already making us, you know, start a relationship with these players, like getting to learn who these players are, getting to learn Byram, getting to learn Singleton, Koger, you know, all the new guys. Deshaun Womack has been in a couple videos on the defense. So it's just so much fun to see, like, to get to know this team, you know, on a more personal level than just, you know, these are our new transfers.
Right.
And to see what they're capable of. So, I mean, like, I'm going back and looking. I'm looking at the schedule right now. And I think originally I had us losing to, like, Florida, losing to Georgia, I think losing to LSU. I think I had us losing to Bama, Ole Miss. I think that was the five I had. Mm-hmm. Dude, I don't know, man. I mean, I think this team, I think I had us actually losing at Tennessee, maybe beating LSU.
I think you had us losing at Tennessee, I think, because I said that.
Yeah, I mean, I might, you know, chalk up the W for Florida now. I might chalk up the W for Ole Miss now.
Okay.
I might chalk up the W for LSU, I think I already dealt with C. I mean, I still don't think we're going to beat Bama in Tuscaloosa or Georgia in Athens. And obviously, this team will probably lose one. But
no, they shouldn't lose. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, golly, I really, 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 really like this football team and what their ceiling could really be.
Yeah.
I might up my ceiling to 9-3. I might do it.
Look, and I've hammered this home several times, and I think you've agreed. The chemistry that some of our guys have on offense specifically is going to be a big deal. No way to sugarcoat it. It chemistry to me is better than talent tenfold when it comes to a football team. Yes, you have to have talent to be able to pull off some big wins. I understand that. But if you have guys that have been playing, you know, on the same team for the past couple, you know, years, if you will, even though it was a different conference, different school, understand that, but they know each other's tendencies. They know where they want the ball. They know, you know, what their quarterback does in a certain situation. Like, hey, if none of us are open, he's going. So we need to be ready to block. Like, you never know what this football team can do. And I think chemistry is going to be a big part in that. I really do. And I agree. The being there at that practice, getting to see that with their own eyes, the energy level that was up, the, like, and I swear the social media team's watching the social hour, because our, we had an episode last week that was titled "The Vibes Are Up." And then they made a post like the next day, "The Vibes Are Up." And I was like, the vibes are definitely up. So I'm excited. I really am. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm allowed to be a little excited. And I hope that, you know, the Auburn fan base is as well. I understand the past 5 years have come and, you know, kicked us in the face, if you will, but it's just part of it. It is. You never know what you're going to get, but I trust this, you know, coaching staff with Golish and everyone, you know, and co with the reins. I really do. I like what we have. I like where we're going. And like Graham said, the ceiling, it just continues to grow and grow higher. So I'm very, very satisfied with what I saw at practice the other day and these videos that keep coming out. And, with,
you know, we only saw day one of practice. You know, they didn't even have pads on yet. They weren't even like going full speed. And then I think they posted something this morning where like they, you know, they're in full pads now and that they're running around. I think they posted a clip, and I think it was Arliss Boardingham, you know, the tight end, was catching a pass for a touchdown on one of our DBs. I was just like, golly, like, let's go. Like, come on. And so I just, man, I really think we have potential at every position on offense and defense. I mean, quarterback, you got Byron Brown, great potential. Wide receiver, I mean, don't even have to get me started. Keyshawn Singleton, Jeremiah Koger, Bryce Kane, Sam Turner, my goodness. And there's definitely more. Running back room, we have one of the deepest rooms in all of college football, I feel like.
That's O-line, what I'm excited
so
about.
So much more confident on the O-line than I was, you know, before spring. So much more. I mean, seeing Joe Simmons in person, he's a massive dude.
Massive unit.
Listening to Cole Best on, like, you know, on Locked On and his other, like, you know, interviews that he's done. I mean, just listen to him, you can tell how much of a leader he is and how much he loves the sport and cares about wherever he is. I mean, you can tell already he loves Auburn so much and wants to give his best to Auburn. I mean, I feel good about this tight end position now. I mean, I've heard some stuff from Jake Johnson. I've heard some stuff, you know, I've seen some stuff about Arliss Boardingham. I've seen some stuff from Jonathan Echol. Like, all I've seen stuff from them. Like, I feel good about that now. I mean, and then the defense, I feel good about the defensive line, Malik Autry, you know, Jared Smith, Jay Hardy, you know, Chris Murray, all these guys coming back. I feel good about, you know, the corners. You know, you still have, I mean, you still have, what, you have Fred Gaskin going to be playing out there. You have Eric Winters. You have, or he might be playing safety more, but you have
safety.
Why am I blanking? Freshman last year, Blake Woodby playing out there. And then at safety, you know, you have Champ Anthony back. You have Caleb Harris. You have Eric Winters. I mean, my goodness. And then linebacker, you have an All-American Xavier Atkins. Yeah. You have blanking on name. I almost said Elijah Freeman. That's not the right.
Elijah Melendez?
Yes, thank you. Elijah Melendez. I mean, just, dude, there, every position I've just felt I feel pretty good about. And if that's the case and we end up, you know, being good and all these guys, you know, have a good year, dude, we could be really good, really good.
And our defense was already pretty stout with Durkin at the helm. I said it last week that, you know, despite us having a really bad year in football, our defense was third in the country under Ohio State and Indiana, who ended up winning the national championship. So I like where our defense is going. I think our defense is going to be better, and that's saying a lot considering how we did last year. But I do agree, and one name that sticks out to me is Xavier Atkins. I think this is going to be the year that he's a vocal leader in the locker room for the defense and on the field. I mean, he's just going to be that guy. He was that guy, you know, kind of up and coming last year, and he really, really kind of bloomed into this person. You're like, okay, he's going to pop off year two. I really like what we got going on here. So I'm curious to see who else will fill that role. Maybe Elijah Melendez as well, kind of be like that co.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a hard hitter. I really think he's going to have a big jump from, you know, freshman. I mean, he played a ton as a true freshman, and he did really well. I mean, he had two interceptions, I think, and having two interceptions or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to take a humongous jump. And that's going to be expected of him. You know, he's coming in and he's going to have that starting job. Like, that's like they're going to need him to step up and really, you know, be solid this year. And I think he will. And the same with Jared Smith. I think the same thing out of him will come to.
Yeah. And two, with, like you were talking about Chris Murray, like don't forget about Malik Altry. Like, dude is a unit. Like, we got it. Our defense is fine. I'm curious to see. It's going to be the season, I guess, especially the first game and the second game. It's going to be, how does our offense look with a year of, you know, or I guess an off season of a new coach, new format, new scheme, new playbook. How's it going to look? I think that's what a lot of people are going to be nervous about. I'm telling y'all, the chemistry is going to matter in the long run. I really do. I really do think that, especially if we end up going, you know, 8-4, 9-3, potentially looking into the playoff, if we can even make it. I like our chances. I do. I like how just everyone seems to be together as one team. It's not two separate teams like it was last year, as we referenced on here several times. So I'm excited, man. I really am. You know what else, Graham, you can get excited about?
Roback.
Yes, that is correct. Go to roback.com and use code BARN20 to get 20% off your next order. The spring is finally here. As you can tell in my voice, I'm very stopped up, if you will. Sinus infection is driving me nuts. But yes, please go to roback.com, use code BARN20, and check out what they have. They have officially licensed college gear. Anything Auburn you want to find, polo shirts, it's that time of year. Go ahead and get that. And the hoodies as well. They're very comfortable, lightweight, great for those spring nights. Again, that is roback.com. Use code BARN20 to get 20% off your next order. We are very thankful for Roback and their partnership with The Barn and The Barn Social Hour. We appreciate y'all so, so much. Graham, there's some other news that came out today about a former Auburn head coach who is now on the playoff committee for college football.
Playoff committee, yeah.
Big, big deal here. And that former coach is Gus Malzahn, who has just retired. He was the offensive coordinator at Florida State, was his latest installment of his career, and he did all right, and then Florida State kind of
pittered
out. Yeah, he beat Bama. Florida State kind of pittered out. I feel like after the second game, or I guess when they played College or Virginia. I remember after watching
Bama just
the game. Yeah, they just kind of turned the lights out and said, all right, let's go home.
We beat Bama. Season's over. Let's go. We're good.
Yeah. Well, he's now on the college football playoff committee, and everyone's, you know, and I think another name that I saw too, I'm going blank on the actual guy's name, but it was the athletic director for Louisiana, I believe, is on there as well. So they do this every year. They just shift around people, and, you know, they'll reach out to people seeing if they're interested. And I guess they reached out to Gus, and he was definitely interested because he's now on the committee. So Graham, what do you think this means as far as, like, do you think he'll do this long-term? Do you think this is a 1 year thing? You think
I see. I mean, I think he could. I mean, Dr. Brian Maggard, Louisiana AD, yeah. And then also Jeff Tedford, former Fresno State/Cal coach, are also joining. But yeah, I'm happy for Gus. I think this is gonna be great for him. I mean, he's got a phenomenal football mind. He knows the game so well. And this is just exciting. He gets to, you know, kind of stay around football, get to really, you know, be in the college football world still and have a impact on it. And I think that this could be a little bit more beneficial for Auburn. I mean, if Auburn is, you know, in that 9-3 spot and are could be like on the outside looking into the playoffs, having Gus Malzahn on that committee could, I mean, like, obviously their job is to be unbiased and stuff like that, but, like, let's be so honest, like,
recently.
They definitely have, I mean, like, unintentionally definitely have a little bit of bias. Like, and I'm not saying, like, they're like, oh, well, since I coach Auburn, I'm going to vote for them to be in. Like,
yeah.
Unintentionally, just naturally your brain's going to have a little bit of bias
right
to certain places. And obviously, I think, I mean, Gus still loves being around Auburn. I mean, he was at a basketball game just not too long ago.
Yeah, they still
has a house in Lake Martin, still lives there and stuff like that. So he obviously loves Auburn and I probably, you know, like, yeah, like, sees this as his home, no matter how it ended. But yeah, I think this is fun for Gus, but also I think it could be in the long run a good thing for Auburn if Auburn is, you know, good enough to even be in the conversation for the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the key. They have to be good. Again, I think they will be. I think there's potential for a lot of people to sleep on Auburn this year because of what's happened the past 5 years. No one will pick us for anything. And normally when that happens, that's when Auburn plays the best. That's what happened in Gus's first year after, you know, before that we went 3-9 with Chizik, which I still think we got rid of Chizik too quick personally, but it worked out with Gus the next year. And I wish we could have kept Gus just a little bit longer. But again, that's another firing. I think we jumped the gun on too quick. Cause again, I'd take another 8-4 Gus year than what we've had the crap the past 5 years. So, yeah, and I think some people would agree with me on that, but yeah, I think overall this could be beneficial for Auburn. Again, there is going to be a little bit of bias there. Who isn't, but with the playoff lately, with the selection show, it turns into, at least the past 2 years, I guess now, it's turned into like brand power. You know what I mean? Like you have some teams that should be in there that, you know, I know they're going to get blown out probably first round like it did with the, you know, the two non-power schools that got in.
Yeah, having G, and that's a whole nother argument for itself. Like, you know, right, should G5s get automatic bids into the playoffs if, right, you know, like, what are the realistic odds of a G5 team coming in and beating one of the top Power 4 teams that actually like had to make it to the playoffs? Like, they actually had to win good games to get there, not just win your conference, which is nowhere near the level of a Power 4 conference, and then you automatically get in, but then you're going to get beat out. Because, like, there's so many Power 4 schools, you know, and so there's only a handful that make it into the playoffs, and you're playing the best of the best in Power 4. The best of the best in Power 4, it will clear the best in Group of 5 every time.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? It's just not likely or possible for a G5 team to beat one of the top Power 4 teams. It's not like basketball where like a Cinderella story could happen or a random upset can happen, because it's just such a different sport.
Yeah, it
football is so much more physical and about size, you know, and obviously in basketball, yes, it's about size, but I mean like in like physical size, like, I mean, your P4 guys are on a different level than your G5 guys.
So. Right. Yeah, it's one of those things where last year, you know, you had those two teams. I'm going blank on them at the moment. I had them and then they just, but one of them had to turn around and play Oregon like round one after they won their conference.
Had JMU and Tulane. It was JMU and Tulane.
Those are the two
G5 teams.
So like, congrats on your conference. All right, who do we play in the playoff? Oh, you got to play Oregon.
You got to play number 2. Oh. Oregon. Like, what? And everyone's like, well, JMU like held it close for first half maybe, but then the second half they got blown out and towards the end of the game. And then Tulane played Ole Miss for the second time that year and got blown out both times. Like, Tulane played Ole Miss in the regular season, and then Tulane played Ole Miss in the playoffs and lost both times. Like, it's just not realistic. And the argument there is that you're taking spots away from Power 4 schools that have had a hard schedule and have won games, good games, to be in the playoffs, yet you're giving those two spots to teams that realistically will never have a chance to win the college football national championship.
Right. And still, if you don't make it, I still think you should play in a bowl game. Notre Dame. You just take your ball and go home and act like we're live.
That's why I love Clark Lee's comments about that. He's like, look, we like playing football here, so we're going to go play our bowl game. I love that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the attitude Steven had here with the NIT. Is like, we enjoy playing basketball, so we're going to go take advantage of this and play.
Yeah.
And we're in the Final Four for the NIT.
Yeah, he literally said today, he was like, I would rather be coaching basketball and playing basketball right now than just sitting at home doing nothing. So that I don't blame.
Hey,
I
love the game. There's only 8 college basketball teams playing right now. It's the Final Four for March Madness, and it's the Final Four for the NIT. Yeah. Now, there's that other tournament that starts like next week, which is like, who cares?
Why next week?
I don't even understand it.
The college basketball
why
season.
Why start your tournament?
Yeah.
Like, they've been sitting at home for like a month. Their season ended, and then they were waiting to play for like a month.
And I get maybe it's because TV schedule base and everything. And to me, the college basketball product's better than the NBA product. I can't wrap my mind around the starting a different tournament that's college basketball related after the March Madness NCAA basketball tournament ends. To me, after that tournament's over, that's the end of the season for college basketball for me. That's when
I kind of feel like it's when these teams that a disadvantage.
Yeah.
A disadvantage because like everyone's going to get a jump. Like once the season's over for all these guys, they're jumping into the portal. They're getting stuff ready. Like they're recruiting guys. And then you have these, you know, select eight teams, it says, are now going to play in their tournament. I'm like, well, you got to be worried about winning your games. And all the rest of the college basketball is going to be getting the transfer portal going and get like recruiting and stuff. I mean, let's see. It's okay. So it starts this week. It starts on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. It goes Wednesday to it's April 1st through April 5th, and it's eight teams. It's Oklahoma, Colorado, Baylor, Minnesota, Stanford, West Virginia, Rutgers, and Creighton. And so it's just three rounds: quarterfinals, semifinals, championship.
Okay, so
it's all being played in Las Vegas.
It ends the day before because isn't the national championship on the 6th? It's the day after Easter.
Yeah, that is right. So let me retract my statement from a minute ago.
Yeah, same here.
But still, it's just weird because like they've been sitting for so long and then now they're about to go
play. Yeah, I would. How about this? I'll rephrase my statement. Why start it at the very end of the college football or the college basketball season? Why not around?
I guess their reasoning here. So all basketball ends at the same time. Like it's the NIT, March Madness, and this is called College Basketball Crown. I guess so they all end at the same. Because I mean, like I said, this is only a three round tournament. It's only quarterfinal. I mean, it's basically just starting at the Elite Eight. You know what I mean? Like it just goes Elite Eight, Final Four, Championship. For them. And so I guess just so that they all end at the same time. So then everyone's kind of in the same playing field about where the portal starts. I mean, there's also a ton of teams that haven't been playing since the end of the season. You know what I mean? Like they're not playing it. They haven't played anything. They're not gonna play in any tournament. But I don't know. I guess just, I mean, this is also like, this tournament is an NIL tournament. Yeah, I mean, there's a $500,000 prize pool. If you win a quarterfinal, it's $50,000 guaranteed. Semifinal win is $100,000 guaranteed, and if you win the championship, it's $300,000 guaranteed.
I'll definitely watch it. I mean, I'm not gonna not watch it. I mean, it's college basketball. I'm a basketball freak, but I don't know. I'm at the point right now where it's like everything's starting to wind down. You had that crazy finish yesterday with UConn and Duke, which holy crap. The cojones on that kid to take that shot from where he did. I mean, the dude shot
one of the greatest endings in a college basketball game I've ever watched ever.
My dad said this last night. He said that is your generation's Christian Leitner shot against Kentucky. That it was you replaced Duke with Kentucky with Duke in this sense, and it was UConn, not Duke, taking the shot. And it's like holy crap. It's like he's not wrong if you think about it as far as like impact. Because I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I think the consensus was yes, they were number one overall seed, but I think a lot of people had them as the favorites because of the Boozer brothers. You know what I mean? And then their whole team's just deep anyway. Personally, I think Michigan is the better team and potentially the best team. And I think that matchup against Arizona is going to be the national champ. I think that is the national championship, in my opinion. That Final Four game, but you know, maybe time will tell. Maybe I'm wrong and I'll be eating crow in a week's time, but we'll see. But yeah,
Jacksonville Jaguars are moving to Orlando for the 2027 season. Their stadium is getting renovated.
Oh, okay.
They're playing
in Orlando. Their franchise.
No, they're playing in Orlando for at Camping World for the 2027. Sorry, that literally just popped up on my phone as like breaking. So I just was like,
oh. No, you're good. Careful. They might move to Orlando permanently because Orlando is a better town.
Yeah. Honestly, like, why not?
Yeah. I might be in Orlando next coming days for this Artemis launch. We'll see.
I'm excited for that launch. It better go. On the first. I'm going to be so upset if it doesn't go.
You think you are. I would be. We're trying to be there. Yeah. We're playing it safe and like making sure not to get a room and put money down, you know, because you cancel it. It's just.
Well, this launch was supposed to happen like 2 years ago.
Yeah. And well,
like the first time it was supposed to happen was like 2 years ago. And then a lot of stuff's happened. But like the projected launch for this Artemis 2, like these astronauts have been selected and preparing since 2 years ago or before that. But like they're supposed to launch 2 years ago.
Yeah. It was supposed to launch in January. Then there was they found like a something. It was like a fuel line,
like
was
hydrogen leak or something like that. Yeah.
And then, or no, it was the hydrogen leak. And then they found a fuel line leak the second time, I believe. And now we're here in March, and hopefully they'll launch it. We'll see. But Graham, real quick before we wrap up, real quick, I got to give you a good 5 minutes as it relates to space. You went to go see Project Hail Mary.
I did. Oh my gosh.
We gotta we gotta nerd out just a minute. I saw it a second time with my parents this weekend. Yeah, I saw it the first time in IMAX, told Graham to go see it, and then he texted me the day that I went to go see it with my parents for my second time, their first time. He was like, I'm about to go into IMAX. I was like, ooh, buddy, buckle in. Buckle in. So what'd you think? No spoilers, by the way. No spoilers.
I won't spoil anything. But like, I just will say this. Like, if you haven't seen the movie, go see it. Like, you have to go see it in theaters.
Biggest dream possible.
And if you can't, and if you can see it in IMAX, like if that is an option for you,
do it.
Do it. Do it. Absolutely do it. It is 100%, 1,000% worth it to see it in IMAX. So yeah, I went two nights ago with my sister who was home from Germany. We went to go watch it 2 nights ago, and I going into it, I was like, yeah, this is gonna be a good movie. Like, obviously Hunter really liked it. I've just seen a lot of stuff on social media about how good this was. So I'm sure it's a space movie. I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
I came out of that movie changed. My life was changed. And like, yeah. I genuinely believe that is the greatest movie I've ever seen ever. Like, I'm putting it at number one on my list.
I wouldn't think it was the best movie I've ever seen. Like, it's definitely in my top five right now, maybe top three, but I still think Interstellar, as far as like, just the layers of thinking you have to do in that movie and the emotion that I felt after watching that, I was like, yeah, okay. This is the best movie I've ever seen. But Project Hail Mary, I felt so much emotion leaving that.
Yeah. And I love like camera work, like
same
cinematography. I love all that. And so like the shots and everything about this movie was just beautiful. I mean, and you can do some research on it, but like they use no green screens, no blue screens. Almost everything was shot practically. I mean, even the Rocky, who is the alien, I was like,
he's in the trailer. Marketing. It's in the marketing.
He's a puppet. Like he was puppeted by somebody.
Yeah.
Who also is the voice for him. So it just was an unbelievable, such a good movie. I've never seen a movie theater lock in like they did during certain scenes. I've never heard a movie theater go so silent. Like, you know, typically in theater, you hear like the classic cup moving around or the slurping or the
sneezing,
someone eating popcorn loudly or, you know, rustling around in a bag. It was silent. You could hear a pin drop. Yeah. I mean, it was the quietest I've ever heard in a movie theater in my life. And that says something.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Again, this is not an ad, but go see it on the biggest screen you can. If you like space movies or just movies in general, this is definitely one made for the movies, because some of these streaming services are trying to take it away from us. So definitely go support your local AMC or Regal or
whatever. You get to whatever see more of the movie if it's in IMAX. Like, people don't understand, like, on a regular movie screen, the dimensions are different than an IMAX screen, and it was shot on IMAX cameras. So this movie was specifically made to be seen in an IMAX theater.
Yes.
So when you're watching on like a regular screen, it crops out. Obviously, it's not going to crop out anything important, but like it's going to crop out a little bit of the shot,
right?
Of like the outskirts of the shots. Like, you're not seeing the full effect of the shots. So if you see it in IMAX, you're getting the full effect. You're getting what it was meant to be seen like, and I think it's important that you see it like that. So like I said, if you can see it in IMAX, do it. It's worth it.
Yeah, between the cinematography in Project Hail Mary and the cinematography of Auburn football's social media team, it's been a fun couple of weeks, that's for sure. I expect to see the social media team continue to show more of the practices and the vibes and the energy that are going up around the campus, and I can't wait for A-Day. It's almost here, man. We're closely approaching A-Day right around the corner. So I'm excited, and before it'll be
like 2.5 weeks for the first season before you know
it. Yeah. So I'm very excited. Again, if you want to listen to more, like and subscribe to The Barn, this is your place. You're already here. Might as well subscribe, right? Go ahead and hit the like button. turn on notifications and check out other podcasts like the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, aka Kyle Rush, the Village Vice Podcast with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law, and the Baseball Podcast with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera. So we, in this one, the Social Hour, me, Hunter Bussey, and Graham McLean. So yeah, as always, everyone, do that. Like, subscribe if you're new. We love to have you join the family. It'd be a lot of fun. And we'll do a barn cast for the Auburn basketball game. I might not be in town for that, depending on if this launch happens or not. We'll see. But again, that is April 2nd at 8:30. Again, the late night tip-offs are absurd, but here we are. But yeah, again, thanks everyone for watching. And as always, we will see you next time. And never forget, War Damn.
Goodbye.